Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me.
There shall be no strange God among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign God.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.
Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me.
So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts, to follow their own counsels.
Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways.
I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes.
Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever.
But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians chapters 6 and 7. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Passion according to St. Luke, chapter 22. Jesus came out and went as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council, and they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God, then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. In the reading from 2 Corinthians, St. Paul makes it crystal clear. Christians are different. And Christians are to remain different. Different from what, you might ask? Just what he says. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So we are to be different from unbelievers with their lawlessness and their idolatry. I don't mean that unbelievers are all terrible people or anything like that, but they are, as St. Paul says, lawless and idolatrous. We may not be spiritually yoked with them. We may not be spiritually united with unbelief. We may not be in spiritual fellowship with false teaching. And we should take this warning seriously. Soul and body, and I think body is the important part here that we're looking at this Lenten season. Soul and body, we are set apart as holy priests for service in the temple of the living God. And yet we are in the world, aren't we? That's what makes it so challenging. How can we be in, but not of? How can we live among unbelievers without becoming unbelievers? How can we see what unbelievers see, or listen to what unbelievers listen to, or speak the way that unbelievers speak without becoming unbelievers like them? You might know the saying, I believe it's in the scriptures as well, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. We can't live as half Christian, half pagan. We can't live as if our souls will remain holy, even if our bodies see and hear and smell and touch and taste or participate in things that are unholy. And so it's worth asking ourselves today, as God's holy priests, what are we doing with our eyes? What are we listening to with our ears? What are we touching with our hands? What are we tasting and smelling and participating in? So St. Paul is very clear. We are to avoid taking part in all pagan religious activities. Now, I'll grant you this, that it was probably a bit easier in St. Paul's day than in ours to figure out what pagan religious activities were. After all, there were pagan temples, and there were pagan festivals, and there were pagan rites. But let's not kid ourselves. There is a great deal of unbelief and paganism in our world still, even if there are not temples and rites and ceremonies and things of that nature. We are to break with things that compromise our life with Jesus. So beware of bending the knee to the gods of our age. Beware of bowing to things that are false. Whatever is unclean to God, keep it far, far away. Whatever may pollute you spiritually, stay away from it, for we are consecrated to God. He is the one who gives us his own holiness, and he makes us holy. Yes, our souls are holy to him, but our bodies are holy to him as well. And that may mean there are things in this world that we cannot be part of. That may mean there are things in this world that we ought not see or touch or be involved with. And yes, some people won't understand. Some people might even mock us for it. Let them, and don't be bothered by it. What we do with our bodies matters, and who we are as God's holy priests matters, and we are to remember this calling. Now, St. Paul reminds us of three beautiful promises from the Old Testament that Jesus has fulfilled. And I'm going to read these. They were in the passage from 2 Corinthians. The first thing that St. Paul says is, we are the temples of the living God. We are his holy sanctuary. As the Lord said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God dwells in our midst. He travels with us through our journey on earth, just as he traveled with the people of Israel in the Old Testament as they went on their way to the Promised Land. And when I say that God dwells with us, I don't only mean that he dwells with us here inside the church, which he most certainly does, but he goes with us in all that we do, all that we see, all that we participate in. And he is described as the living God. Here's one of the things. The idols and idolatrous worship and false religion around us is all connected to things that are God. Things that are dead. But we are connected to the God who is alive, and who alone gives life. He is not a God of what is dead, but he is a God of what is living. The second thing that St. Paul says is this. He applies to us Isaiah's instructions to exiled priests. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. We ought to have a filter for our lives as to what is clean and unclean, what God says is acceptable and holy in his sight, and what is unholy and unacceptable, because we serve as holy priests in God's temple. Our bodies, and all that is done in our body, as we heard last Wednesday, they are living sacrifices. And third, we have this promise as well. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We are God's sons and daughters. We are members of his royal household, and we serve as royal priests. Jesus, our older brother, is the great high priest over God's temple. He's the celebrant and the preacher and the officiant in God's house, and we are appointed as holy priests who serve under him. Indeed, you might say that what happens every time we gather in the church is that our great high priest comes. He comes and he makes us holy again and consecrates us for our work by his word. He washes us clean with his absolution. He feeds us with his own precious body and blood, so that in our bodies we might serve him. You might ask how we are to maintain our purity. Well, first of all, we have to recognize our purity does not come from ourselves. We are not holy in ourselves. You know that. I know it as well about myself. God is the one who maintains our purity and our holiness, and he's doing it right now. Again, he's taking our bodies into his service. He gathers us as those who are washed in baptism. He takes our ears and he fills them with his word. He takes our eyes and he sets before them his holy supper. He takes our lips and he opens them to declare his praise and to pray and to confess. He uses our hands to receive that body and blood of Jesus, our legs to stand and to sit and to come forward to the altar rail, so that we can serve as his holy priests with our bodies. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Live in daily contrition and repentance, turning from every sin of thought, word, and deed, and fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. On Jesus, who used his holy body as a holy priest to serve you. We saw him in the reading today in the Garden of Gethsemane. Come to do the Father's will, not my will, but yours be done. Kneeling, praying, not only for himself, but for us as well. We saw our Lord's body when the crowd came to arrest him, being taken into custody, not lashing out, not returning evil for evil, not allowing their unholiness and their false beliefs to ruin and destroy his holiness. While Peter was denying our Lord with his mouth, Jesus was confessing himself, even to the point of being struck with blows, being abused and mistreated and mocked. This is what our Lord did in his service as our holy high priest, as he offered himself on the cross for your sins and for mine, that he might make us his priests as well. And now for your life in the body and your service in the body as holy priests of a holy God, you receive his holy body and his holy blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins and as the promise of life and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
And let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Most glorious Trinity, in your mercy, we commit to you this day our bodies and souls, all our ways and goings, all our deeds and purposes. We pray you, so open our hearts and mouths that we may praise your name, which above all names alone is holy. And since you have created for us the praise of your holy name, grant that our lives may be for your honor, and that we may serve you in love and fear. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gracious Jesus, our Lord and our God, at this hour you bore our sins in your own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. Have mercy upon us now and at the hour of our death, and grant to us, your servants, with all others who devoutly remember your blessed passion, a holy and peaceful life in this world, and through your grace, eternal glory in the life to come, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.